This is the Transcend Human Podcast, a show dedicated to the spirituality and psychology of the human condition. This year, however, we're taking a detour together as I venture into the world of writing. Each episode documents my journey from the big idea to a complete fiction novel. Join me through the highs and the lows that are sure to be part of this creative process. Yes, party people, welcome back to the Transcend Human Podcast, or more importantly, more specifically, the Transcendent Trilogy series that we're doing this year. It's been a few weeks. Today is March 25th, 2024. So welcome back. It has been a few weeks, I think three since our last episode. And that's because life gets crazy sometimes, right? I'm sure this is true of all of us. But over the past 3 weeks, I got to do some fun stuff. So my wife and I were able to travel to New York City to watch her daughter perform in the musical Carrie. She's finishing up her senior year at a musical theater program on Long Island. And yeah, this was her last big performance of her college career. And so we were lucky enough to be able to go out and watch her perform, and it was so good. Next up, our son was on spring break somewhere in there. I can't remember which week it was. But that meant he was around a little more often. So we got to do some stuff with him and his girlfriend. So that was great. And then recently we had some friends from Indiana stop by for a few days. So we got to take them around, LA, San Diego, different places. So that was a lot of fun. Most of the things we had already done once or twice, but it's just interesting how fun it is to take people around who haven't seen things like that before and basically re-experience it through their eyes. So that was a lot of fun. And yeah, in amongst all of those things, I did have a few days where I was able to continue working on the book, working on my planning, my outlining, my plotting. But the podcast episode itself just kept getting pushed off. So that's where we're at. But today's episode, number four, episode four of the Transcendent Trilogy series, is called Outlining and Planning. So that's our topic for today. Chapter one, all of the options. Chapter two, do what works for you. And chapter three, one spreadsheet to rule them all. Chapter one, all the options. So this episode is really just a continuation of the last one, which I'm assuming that a lot of our episodes will be. I'm trying to make this more of like an ongoing dialogue as we work through the pre-planning and the planning and the outlining and eventually the writing of a novel. So last week or last episode, we looked at the differences between pantsers and plotters. And I basically owned up to the fact that I fall into the plotter camp quite heavily, in fact. Now, I can't say with 100% certainty that it's a personality thing, though it definitely fits my personality. But there is a chance it could just be due to a lack of skill, because I am very new to the craft of writing. I've never written a novel before, much less a trilogy. So what I lack in experience, I could be making up for in pre-writing activities. Activities like outlining, planning, plotting, whatever you want to refer to it as. But I don't believe that there's anything wrong with that either way. Pantsers will pants and plotters will plot, right up to the point where they don't. And maybe at that point they cross the line and they do the exact opposite. Or perhaps people do a hybrid approach, right? What I'm saying is that I don't really think it matters. You do you. Pick the thing that feels the most comfortable to help you and the thing that'll get the job done. At the end of the day, a pantser who can't tell a well-structured story may miss crucial story elements and the story falls flat. But the same goes for a plotter who spends all sorts of time doing the right things related to story structure and the required genre elements, but yet can't write an inspired story to save his or her life. On some level, you have to start with a good story, then pick your poison when it comes to getting it from your heart into the world. For me, it's been decided. I'm a plotter, at least right now. And so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start with outlining and planning my novel. And like we said last time, there are numerous strategies to help you accomplish this. Last time I read through a list rather quickly, but I realized that I wasn't being very fair to these strategies. I simply glossed over them because I wanted to talk about the things that I was going to use. But to be honest, my plan isn't going to be for everyone. So I wanted to go back over the list last week and actually describe them in enough detail so that you could decide if maybe one of those was more up your alley. As a reminder, the original list came from Kathy Edens over at ProWritingAid.com and their blog over there, but I also linked to a separate website. Some of the links that she had in there I included in my show notes so that you have links to some of the actual websites where these methods are described in more detail. So let's start with the Snowflake Method, originally created by Randy Ingermanson. It's a planning method that starts small and builds upon itself until you have a complete novel. According to Randy, there are 10 steps to this method. First, a one-sentence summary. Next, expand that to a paragraph, and then start to divide the ideas into a three-act structure. Next, write a one-page summary sheet for each of your characters. So start with the character's name, a one-sentence summary of the character's storyline, the character's motivation, goal, conflict, and epiphany. Next, write a one-paragraph summary of the character storyline. Next, take the initial paragraph that you started with and expand it into full paragraphs for each sentence in the opening piece. All but the last paragraph should end in disaster, but the last paragraph should explain how the story ends. Next, write one-page descriptions for each of the main characters and a half page for each supporting character. These summaries should basically tell the story from each of the characters' point of view. Next, expand each of your paragraphs from one paragraph into one page, a one-page summary. Next, expand your character descriptions into full character charts with every possible detail about each character. Next, make a spreadsheet, and from the four-page summary, pull all necessary scenes into the spreadsheet. An optional thing would be to write a multi-paragraph summary for each scene in the spreadsheet. When completed, print this out and use as the Bible for your project, adding notes, ideas, and content in red to these pages. And then finally, write your first draft. So that's the Snowflake Method. And I went through that very quickly, but you should get a sense of how it works and if it's something that would work for you. Next, we have the 30-day method. This was developed by Karen Weisner. And this one is similar to the Snowflake Method in that you continuously build on an outline that you generate at the beginning. So as you write, the outline continues to change and expand based on your ideas. The interesting thing about this one is that you supposedly have a rough draft completed in 30 days. Now that's a little aggressive for my taste. It's just not where I'm at right now in my writing. Next, you have the five-step method. So this is found on the Mythic Scribes blog. It's less structured than the previous two. You basically start with two sentences. Next, you write a 3-to-5-page summary of the plot, the characters, and their motivations. From that synopsis, you then create an outline, basically a bullet point, or 3-by-5 cards for each scene in your book. And then you write your first draft. Next up is the Write from the Middle method, developed by James Scott Bell. And this one is simple but yet profound. So the idea is that every great novel has a turning point somewhere in the middle, a point where the protagonist is faced with a life-changing decision or event. The idea is to figure out this turning point as quickly as possible in the writing process, and then literally allow this to inform everything before it and everything after. Next, you have the five draft method. So this comes from Jeff Goins, a podcaster that I think I've talked about quite a few times on this this podcast. Love listening to his stuff. And he's also a writer. So he put forth this idea of a five draft method when he wrote his books. His idea is that the first draft is what he calls the junk draft. So you basically word vomit everything out of your brain as fast as possible. Second draft is the structure draft. So basically going back through it and ensuring that there is structure to the story. Third is the rough draft. So you basically polish line by line and chapter by chapter. Draft number four is the surgery draft. So this involves cutting out major parts that are not really necessary or needed in the story. And then the last draft, the fifth draft, it's still able to be tweaked and polished, but basically it's ready to go out to beta readers and the editors. Next, and yes, this is the last one. We have the novel factory method. So there is, 15 steps in this one, and I'm going to run through them really fast. So step one is the premise. One line that includes character, situation, objective, opponent, and disaster. From there, you walk through the next 14 steps to complete your first draft. Step two, the skeleton. Step three, character introductions. Step four, a short synopsis. Step five, extended synopsis. Step six, the goal to decision cycle. This I find very interesting. So basically there's this cycle that you write through in your book. Goal, so your character must have something they're trying to get or something to avoid. Next, you have conflict, someone or something that's stopping the protagonist from achieving that goal. Then there's a disaster, so something happens that not only takes the protagonist further than ever from their goal, but preferably adds an extra layer of peril. Next, you have the reaction. So following the disaster, the protagonist has an emotional and or physical response. Next is dilemma. The hero should have two choices, neither of them good. And then finally, you have the decision. In other words, the protagonist chooses from one of the options available, which gives them a new goal, rinse and repeat. Step seven, character questionnaires. Step eight, locations. Step nine, advanced plotting. Step 10, character viewpoints. Step 11, scene blocking. 12, draft 1. 13, theme and variations. 14, draft 2. 15, final draft. So obviously I went through that very quickly, but you can imagine that there's a whole lot of documentation for each of those steps if that's something that you're interested in pursuing. Chapter 2, do what works for you. So there you go. We just walked through six alternative methods for writing a good story, along with the information that I've already given you about the story grid and the hero's journey. Those were six other options that you could choose from. Now, obviously, like I said before, I've picked my poison, and we walked through that the last time. So I'm choosing to go with the story grid methodology, and from that theory, if you will, I picked the 20 skeletal scenes. I picked obligatory moments, genre conventions, and basically making sure that the book and each act and each quadrant and every scene include the five commandments of storytelling, which we talked about being the inciting incident, progressive complications and turning point, crisis, climax, and resolution. Then from the hero's journey, basically ensuring that each of the 12 story elements that are described in the hero's journey are found somewhere in my story. And those were the call to adventure, the refusal of the call, meeting the mentor, crossing the threshold, tests, allies, and enemies, the approach to the inmost cave, the ordeal, the reward, the road back, the resurrection, the return, and the freedom to live. But here's what I want to do now. I want you to think about what I just said, and then think back to the other six methods that we just walked through. Do you see any similarities? I sure did. But it makes sense, right? If a great book works because the structure and the elements are what the reader is expecting to be there, then it also makes sense that each of these methods might look similar because they're all trying to get you to the same place. They might use slightly different wording or slightly different techniques, but at the end of the day, if your action novel doesn't include a scene where the villain is about to kill your hero, you're probably dead in the water. If your love story doesn't include a scene where the relationship looks to be completely lost, then people are going to feel cheated. And if your horror story never reveals who the monster is and how or why it's killing people, then the reader isn't going to pick up your next book, and so on and so forth. So here are just a few of the similarities I saw in the various planning methodologies. So when I look through the StoryFlick method, I noticed that there's a spreadsheet, right, with a line for each scene in the book. As you'll see in the next chapter, I'm going to do the same thing using StoryGrid. In the five-step method, you eventually create an outline or use 3x5 cards, one for each scene in the book. Sound familiar? Next, in the right from the middle model or method, you're basically asked to find the turning point in the story. In the story grid, the turning point is one of the five commandments of storytelling, and you're literally required to have one in every level of the book, from the overarching plot to every single scene. In the five draft method, the second draft is called the structure draft, which is exactly what StoryGrid is, if not the structure, right? The structure of your story. And finally, in the novel factory method, you find this thing called the goal to decision cycle. We talked through it, right? Goal, conflict, disaster, reaction, dilemma, and decision. Rinse and repeat. Now, this may not be word for word, but it sounds interestingly close to me to the five commandments of storytelling, right down to the part where it says rinse and repeat. So there you go. A few examples of how each method not only overlaps, but is also heading you in the same direction, toward a story that works. Chapter 3, One Spreadsheet to Rule Them All. So the final thing I wanted to talk about, I kind of hinted at earlier when I said that I was creating a spreadsheet based on the StoryGrid method. I linked to an article on the StoryGrid website that explains the entire spreadsheet from top to bottom. So if you're into that sort of thing, feel free to head on over and check it out. I actually pull it up every now and then if I can't fall asleep. It does the trick right quick. Jokes aside, it is a very powerful tool, but not for the faint of heart. It's one of those things that you hear somebody mention and you're like, oh, interesting, a spreadsheet. Yeah, how hard can it be? And then you see it and you're like, nope, I want nothing to do with that. Because it's daunting. So much so that I doubt I'll fully ever create one for my book. At least not to that level. But I do love the concept and I want to adapt it to work for me. I say that because I don't have the full thing completed yet. But I'm far enough along to know that it's going to be a mandatory part of my planning process and my outlining. It'll basically be the outline for the entire trilogy, as well as the outline for each of the three books within the trilogy. So let me explain as simply as possible. My spreadsheet consists of three sheets, one for each book. At the top of the page, I have the trilogy-specific information. So within the trilogy-specific section, I'm tracking the scene number. Yes, I'm keeping a running total throughout all three books. Next, I have the hero's journey for the overarching story for all three books combined, ensuring that the 12 elements are found within the global story. Next, I have the story grid elements, so the five commandments of storytelling, the obligatory moments, and the genre conventions. Then below that comes the information for each specific book. So in my case, I've broken each book down into the four quadrants, beginning hook, middle build one, middle build two, and ending payoff. And in my case, I've added a prologue, one at the beginning of each of the three books. More on that in a later episode. Now, from there, the basic structure goes something like this. Every single column on the sheet is for a scene, a specific scene in that book, right? And in that column, there are rows. So there's a row for what the scene number is. There's a row for the word count for that scene. There's a row for the hero's journey. So if one of the 12 hero's journey elements are found within that scene, it would be listed there. There's a row for the story grid. So making sure that that scene may potentially be one of the five commandments of storytelling. Maybe it's an obligatory moment. Maybe it's a genre convention that needs to be in the book. So having a row to document the story grid stuff. Next, a short description of every scene. So there's a description row. Below that, reason for the scene. So this is one I just put in because I thought it would be helpful to just document in each scene why I felt it was important to the overall story. Next, a row for the value shift. So this is something that that you can read about in the story grid. It's basically the idea that in every single scene, somebody is going from one thing to another. So like I'm looking at one of my rows here, and the value shift is basically going from feeling disconnected to feeling chosen. This row says lack of knowledge to having knowledge. So basically just when you enter a scene, what is happening? And then when you exit the scene, what has changed? That's the value shift. And then turning point. So within that scene, what is the big thing that happens that basically turns that scene? So that's the final row that I have in there. Now, like I said, this is a work in progress, and I can only see it growing over time, not just as I write scenes, but as other rows or other columns are added for importing things that I might feel like are needed in this overall spreadsheet. For example, I can see adding a row to document breadcrumbs or Easter eggs or foreshadowing or callbacks to certain things, right? Stuff like that in order to really keep track of those little pieces throughout the entire story. But for now, I think it looks pretty good. So I've got the prologue, the inciting incident, middle build one, middle build two, and ending payoff listed across the sheet. I've got the 20 skeletal scenes in just kind of sprinkled separate columns throughout, just so that I make sure that I find places to put them. And then I just added additional columns. So right now I've got 80 columns in my spreadsheet. So that's 80 scenes. And I don't know that I'll write a full 80 scenes for each book, but somewhere between 60 and 80 is probably where I'll wind up. So it's definitely enough for an average. So like, let's say I just went with 62 scenes at 1500 words each. That's basically creating a novel that's a 93,000 word count novel. Like I said, I'm assuming I may have more than that. So I may be closer to 120,000 words by the time we're done, but we'll have to see how it goes. For now, I'm just stoked that I've gotten this far. This is amazing to me. My plan is to flesh out this spreadsheet, not necessarily for all three books. I really need to focus on that first book and really get the descriptions for each of the scenes written out for the entire book, along with making sure that all of the elements are accounted for. And that should be it. So from there, I should just be able to start writing my book, right? Well, maybe. I don't know. Probably not. I'm sure that there are a few things I'll need to do in order to really feel ready to dive in. And here's just two things that I probably need to focus on before really sitting down and starting to write. First, characters. So I've got a lot of characters, and I've done some work on them. I've done some defining, but I really need to sit down and do a summary for each character that's going to be in the book, basically determining who is my true protagonist and or protagonists, as well as antagonist or antagonists. Yes, I'm still trying to decide if I'm going to go the whole dual or multiple protagonist route. I know that it's difficult, but at the same time, this isn't an epic adventure, and most epic adventures have a lot of important characters. So still trying to decide that. and making sure that I have a strong enough internal story arc for each of the main characters. So basically what change happens in each character from beginning to end. And then the second part is the world building. So I really need to take a stab at documenting and defining the world that the story takes place in. So key people, terms, history, timelines, past occurrences. Is there a form of magic allowed in this world? And if so, what are the boundaries that exist for that magic? Items that either do or don't exist on this world, or things that aren't of this world, things like that. Defining real world people, companies, organizations, you know, taking things that I'm talking about that are actually real in the world today, but making them fictitious so that it isn't too real. People don't get too caught up in the idea of, you know, this being a real world story today. And that's it. I think if I can do those two things on top of having my full outline, I think I should be good to go and sit down and just start writing, which is so fun to think about. All right, let's land the plane. First of all, thanks, friends, for making time to join me. I hope this was interesting and that it's given you some ideas for ways to plot your own novel or your own your own stories, movie ideas, whatever it is that you're working on. Next up, my plan is to dive into my big idea. So the next episode will be called The Big Idea. And it's really, I mean, I know we've talked about this before, but I haven't really sat down and explained my big idea, where I'm headed with the entire thing. Now, I know this is going to be tricky, right? I haven't done any research on this. I really need to talk to some people and really come up with a decision as to how far do you go into your story? How much detail do you give about your story without pretty much giving it away, right? And not giving it away like, oh, I just told you the, you know, the ending of my book, giving it away that way, but potentially giving it away to other authors. You know what I mean? Like explaining, here's my big idea from beginning to end, and then somebody else takes your idea and goes and writes a book because they're fast and they knock it out before you. Now, I'm not saying that that's going to happen. I mean, I don't know if that stuff happens these days or not. But again, what you don't know, you don't know. And so I'm going to have to figure some of those things out. I really want to be as transparent as possible, but at the same time, I want to be smart. So that is on my agenda to figure out this week or the next coming weeks. Before the next episode. But looking forward to having you back. And so join me for that. And I think that's about it. So until next time, friends, have a great week. And as we always say, keep transcending human.